Hello, my name is Vince Palko from VincePalko.com, and today I have a special guest that I'd like to introduce to all our members of the Success Rocket Ride Club. Her name is Linda Cortese Crane. Linda is an integrative, holistic practitioner. She's a healer and a teacher. She sees 5 to 10 patients a day in her practice. She has several different home study courses on the topic of holistic healing at her website, holisticdynamics.com. Linda is also a medium, a psychic intuitive, an astrologer, and a very, very good artist. She has quite the extensive background and skill set that you will see quickly how it applies to the information we're talking about. And the information we are going to cover today is all about the art of attracting your perfect mate. And what qualifies Linda to be speaking about this is she has a fascinating story on the topic of how her and her husband Richard met and eventually got married. And even if you are in a very, very successful relationship, fulfilled in every way, take time to sit back and enjoy this information, because it will expand your mind to show you the powers that exist in all of us, ready, willing to be tapped into, to use to your betterment. And, you know, this ultimately, by using and tapping into these powers that we all have, creates more happiness, creates more wealth, creates more success in your life. So without further ado, let's bring on Linda. Linda, are you there?
Hello, Vince. It's great to be here, and thank you very much for inviting me today.
Well, we all want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. I know I'm very, very excited to hear the information you're about to share, and I know my audience is going to be as well. So let's get right into it. You know, the topic of attracting your perfect mate, your perfect partner, your perfect soulmate, that I think is a huge topic for many people out there, even if they aren't, or even if they are in a very, very successful relationship. This information will be extremely helpful to them, because I think in general relationships are something we always have to work at. And probably everyone here can, you know, use this time to pick up nuggets that maybe they never really thought of before. Or if there are people out there that are single, people that, you know, aren't in a good relationship, let's just kind of talk about some of the information that you're going to share with us tonight to expand all our minds and show us, you know, the true potential behind what we have in all of us. So let's get right into kind of your story with how you met Richard and what happened there.
Yeah, we can start there. I also want to say, though, that this applies to attracting wealth, to attracting better health, to attracting many of the things, more money, more happiness, more joy, more fun, more creativity, everything in life. And it could be applied that way once we see. It doesn't have to just be Valentine's Day to talk about the law of creating, attracting relationships. But, yes, those relationships of other people, as well as relationships with ourselves, as well as relating to abundance and better health, they're all relationships also, Vince, even though they may not be necessarily with another person. But I just wanted to mention that because people's expansion on this is endless. And we want to be creative and understand that more is better all the time. And with attracting my mate, I had been divorced for many, many years and had an interest in finding the right proper mate. The universe gave me many opportunities to say yes, no, or maybe to different people that came along, and I had to be very honest with myself, and I think that's one of the things that's important, and make sure that I was as clear with myself as possible, because the universe is an attractive force. What you are is what you meet outside of yourself to bring to yourself. And so as we clear up all of the uncertainties within ourselves, then we see more partners that are closer and closer to that goal. And so I had for a while been very happy to be, you know, more or less just by myself and learning more about myself. And then when it was time to look for a mate, it took, it took some time to really decide what kind of person and what kind of qualities. And so as I became more interested in learning about quantum physics and the laws that that has to do with, why I love quantum physics is because that's where this comes in about attracting your mate. Because quantum physics really is the only law that really wants your input. It really asks for you to be part of the equation. And so I think that was marvelous. And when I started seeing that more and more, I was able to, you know, rewrite how I felt, rethink how I felt, and understand. And it took some time to really get the ABCs of that. Yet, very interested, because every little success to every part of my life meant, oh, it's successful in coming to that goal. So I had a very, very good friend, and he lived in Kauai. And I always in my life have adored Hawaii when I've never even been there, you know. And so this one friend of mine was always key, and he was always interested in metaphysics, and which means beyond the physical and spiritual matters that weren't religious, so to speak, but they are spiritual in its scope of understanding. And when you really look at the laws of attraction, the laws of deliberate creation, and the laws of allowing, you'll see that those are really very spiritual laws. And from a holistic point of view, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual are all part of what that holistic means. So we need to be in sync with all of those things to be whole. And I found out that through my experiences in life, that the spiritual part is the cohesive glue, so to speak, that holds all the rest together. So that one is so important, because we really are spirit encased in this bodysuit called matter. So when we learn that we are the connecting force between heaven and earth, and we are that bridge, we're able to bring more into life what we want to manifest, what we want to see happen. So this one friend who was really good with understanding these laws and everything, and we were studying together in different kinds of things. At one point, I had made a final version of a download that I would have decided was the right kind of person for me. And it was pretty specific, but it also was about qualities about the person.
What do you mean by download, Linda, real quick?
Well, I made a version. I actually wrote it on my computer and, you know, have something that I wanted to make sure was in my being as well as on my paper, you know. So I just had this understanding about the qualities of the person I wanted to meet. And so it was, you know, put it in my computer, downloaded it, and put it into, you know, a piece of paper form that I wanted to keep in front of me. As well as, when I say download, you put these energies, these understandings of these things that you want to see happen for yourself, they really go into yourself, you know, because that's what you're looking to see manifest. And when there is no disharmony, no confusion, no doubts, but very clearly in charge of that understanding that you would like to see happen, no matter if it's showing up to you at the moment or you have no signs of that ever happening, but you are, the word is feeling good about it, and your attitude is very opened and loving, and the attitude is gratitude for this thing being there, this person or the situation that you want to manifest, being there already in your life when there's no signs of it happening, and living that feeling of what it's like when you're going out and like when you're talking with them and really kind of living that experience, those things will come into your life much more quickly, those kinds of situations. So I had a script of what I felt. It was a little paragraph, and it got really concise over the time, shorter and shorter and shorter, more clear about what those people were. And then if there would be someone who would come and wouldn't be quite that way, I had to do a very clearing kind of thing. I had to say, no, that wasn't right for me. I had to let that person go. I couldn't say, well, he's most of that, but maybe I could fix this part or change that, which doesn't work. You can never change somebody else. You can only influence by who you are as a person. Just for instance, if you had a really wonderful teacher in your life and they impressed you in a certain way, so they influenced you by what they were like, and you said, gee, I'd like to be like them or something in that way. So we influence people by just who we are. So that's the only thing that we have if we're ever going to change somebody. So you don't want to go in with that. From the beginning, you want to make sure that the person is really harmony and sync with you. So when I talk to the other person, I want it to be like I'm talking to myself. They understand where I'm at in life. I'm not really having to, you know, bring them up to a certain level of understanding. But there's harmony and sync. We're not like each other exactly because there's nobody totally like myself or like Richard, but we have so many commonalities that it's a flow. We want the life to be in harmony and sync. We like those qualities that inspire us to be there. So, and we want to see that in the flow of happening. So I just had said to my friend in Kauai that, this is really where I'm at and what I'd like to see happen. And that person also believed in my vision. And I would just like to say one other thing about that, which is really important. You want the people that you talk to about what you want to see happen in your life also in favor of that happening for you. If they're not in harmony with your thoughts about certain things, it's best not to tell anybody because they can break apart that manifestation, that creativity, because energy is alive and everything is a manifestation of energy. And so we have to get very in touch with that in the 21st century because what we don't see can also be important as well as what we do see. So when somebody is in harmony with you, they're supportive of what you're going through. And if they're not, I wouldn't say a word. Now, I never said much to anybody ever when I was going through this process for meeting Richard. And this happened within several months. That's all it took. And a few months, really. And even after we got married, then I'd let people know.
Right.
Because it's really very important. Having somebody support you is great. If they're not really on that wavelength, then it's best to hold it to yourself. And plus, see, the joy comes from what you've done with the universe in this process, and you really don't need anybody else's okay. So not that there would be people against it for me at all. No, in fact, when I talk to God all the time, and the conversation is, well, God, if you really want me to start teaching about the law of creation and deliberate creation and attraction and allowing, well, you're going to have to give me something to prove it, that it works. So enough said. I didn't have to ask for that any longer. And along the way, what happened was, this person and I in Kauai talked for a little while, and that was the end of it. After about 3 months later, 2 to 3 months later, this friend in Kauai is talking to Richard on the phone, who is a mutual friend. So we were connected by a mutual friend. Okay, the universe has its ways. And he said that while he was talking to Richard, he got this absolutely very strong urge in him, a feeling that he was supposed to mention me to him. because Richard and him had done work together, different kinds of business things, as well as they were equal in learning about different things metaphysically and spiritually. And so they checked in with each other once in a while, and he said, I never thought of this person in my life before about with you, but when I talked to him, he said, I really felt that I should mention something. So he talked to Richard about me, and then Richard was saying that he was looking for someone special in his life, and it was time for him, and he was really interested in that. So that even confirmed it even more for my friend. And then he said, well, I'm going to talk to her and see if she's interested in hearing from you. And because he didn't want to give my number out without my okay. So my friend calls me and tells me that this same, you know, story, that they're friends. And he says to me, I want to tell you, Linda, I am in no way a matchmaker, and I have never done this before in my life, but I feel very strongly that this is maybe somebody you might want to talk to. How do you feel about it? And I said to him, you know, if it was anybody else, I would say no to this whole thing, because this is crazy. I said, but because it's you, and because I know your integrity, because you're a good friend of mine, I said, this is kind of interesting that my mouth almost said no to it, but my voice said yes. So it came from somewhere inside of me. And I said, I just let it be. I said, okay, you know, let him call. So Richard did call me, and we had talked two months on the phone, actually, back and forth. And in that time span, we had gotten to know each other, you know, pretty well, and then we were ready to kind of meet, you know, as far as you can on the phone anyway. And we had such an energy going. It was such a light conversation, and it was like knowing him for a long time as we had been speaking to each other. And so he asked if I would like to come to one of his homes that he had at the time in Tucson, Arizona. And I was thinking about it, and for me, I kept saying, no, is this man supposed to come and see me? I shouldn't go there. You know, that's how I had felt. And it was interesting the way sometimes the universe puts other people in place for you to talk to, and they straighten you out a little bit. Two of my friends said to me, including my friend from Hawaii, you know, you're working so hard all the time. I think the universe really wants to give you some kind of a rest for about a week or so. Why don't you go? You know, and I said how I felt about that thing. And another friend said to me, you know what? She's a psychologist. And she said, I think that's really old thinking right now. I mean, look at the amount of things that were done to make you feel safe and everything be in place. And, of course, Richard paid for the whole thing for me to come out there. And there was no strings attached anywhere. And so I said, well, maybe you're right. You know, I had to rethink this. And so I finally did say yes. And it was actually a really good decision on my part to do that, because not long after that he came up to Buffalo, too, and we had, you know, a good time here with all my friends and family. But so that was, it was a very nice thing. And so when Richard and I got together, it was very interesting because he had felt that we had this great connection before we ever met, you know, not just on the phone, but me being an astrologer right away, I took his birth information. And not necessarily him telling me, he did the same thing on his end from someone else, just kind of see what the connections were. Because in astrology, it's really great because you can look at comparisons of both charts together and see how you flow together. And I just don't want to waste any time, and I don't feel like, you know, just trying to find out things like that. With all the metaphysical help and things I know about astrology, numerology, and other subjects, it's important to use those tools to see how they work, because I've used them for a long time for many other people. So, you know, and seeing how that worked together, we really did have a lot of connections, or else not because I had a friend that introduced me. That wasn't enough for me. I had to kind of see it in lots of different ways, even prior to meeting Richard. So when we did meet, there was a great connection, and we just had a great time, and we kept on, you know, this wonderful conversations. And when I got back here, and about a month later, he came up to this area, and we had a great time here too. And then he had asked me, because Richard's very spiritually inclined with different things, if I wanted to go on this spiritual pilgrimage that he had planned prior to meeting me, you know, and that was coming up in the summertime. And that was to India, Tibet, Thailand, and Bali, and Singapore. I couldn't say no to that trip. You know, that was something that the universe was giving me for a reason. And, you know, you get to really know somebody when you're in different kinds of hotels for 3 months. You know, it speeds up the process. It's not the same as going to work every day and just seeing somebody part of the day. You see them every part of the day.
Sure.
And you get to know their ways and just how you fit together. And really some kind of treacherous circumstances, which it was there, as well as fun circumstances. So you get to see the whole gamut. And never once did I ever feel unsafe or uncomfortable. But there were always, in the trip, there was always ways that I could leave, or I could get out, or I could go home, or didn't have to continue. There was always that understanding and way to do that. So I thought, you know, this was something that I should do. So we did. We went and we did this whole trip. And then when we came back from the trip is when Richard and I got more serious about things. And so then we decided that, you know, we're together every day for this 3 months. And so he, being a bachelor who has never been married and has no children and in his 50s, you know, has decided that that was right for him. And for me, that was also something I needed to learn about and see. So the download, so to speak, my final version of who I'm looking for and what I wanted in a mate had said all those things in many, many different ways. And they still continue to show themselves in more and more joy, in more and more understanding. Now, we're two different beings. We do things differently, but yet there's a common thread, a common bond. And, you know, you can't really ever say anything in life is 100%. So that's why you always have to manifest. You always have to have a deliberate idea of what you would like to see happen, because the universe does answer. And so if there's an attitude of something that you don't like, or a way someone's doing something that's, you know, bothering you, you have to look at the positive, the good things of what was done. Never dwell on those things that aren't quite there, but always we meditate and we like to plan for the next day or the next way that we would like to see something happen. And those things are amazingly fast the way they happen. My own personal things individually, his personal individual stuff, plus our joint interests together. And it's the attitude that makes it really important. So when my friend in Kauai was talking with me, we were talking about how thoughts create. And we had a quote from Thoth, which is T-H-O-T-H, which is considered the god of wisdom, you know. And it was very profound things that were said to me. And, you know, what you want to see happen, just focus on that. What's good about a thing, and the other part should not be thought of or looked at to manifest what you really would like to have occur. So one of the quotes was this: thoughts are the essence of human creation. So it would seen that thoughts are our medium of travel, manifesting and healing. And I thought, wow, that was so powerful for me.
Yeah.
One thought is as powerful as the whole universe. And one thought, one mind, unity consciousness. Okay, so one thought can manifest into an illness or a disease, and one thought can erase it.
Wow.
So the power of your mind knows no limit. So he was reminding me, my friend, that my personal thoughts are very powerful. And, you know, my life would show that because, you know, what I wanted to see happen in different things in my life, I'm able to do. And we have to monitor the thoughts. And we could, how I noticed that, too, is that I was learning these ABCs of how to make things happen over 3 years' time, really. Because by the time you're older, you have a lot of set understandings, a lot of set beliefs, a lot of ways that are rigid and will never get you where you want to go. So they have to be understood in how powerful the mind and emotions, how they work together to apply this and change the thinking, and that goes down to the cellular level.
Linda?
So, yes.
Real quick, one question I have is, you know, did Richard have a list on his end?
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yes, he did. He had a list on his end, not really knowing that he had one on his end, but not at first. And what was interesting is that he also said that everything on his list was done just like he had hoped it would be. It was just so interesting that, you know, we don't have to even say these things. The universe has the synchronicity and to bring things together because, you know what, I don't believe in coincidence. From my years of study, I believe that this is more of an ordered universe, that nothing happens by chance. And even when we are not deliberate creating, we might be miscreating by just the way our thoughts go with things. And so that's what happens, and then you always have a chance to change it. But if you're saying, I really want this, this, and this, but I can't because this, this, and this, after you set up this creation of what you want, you've just canceled it.
Wow.
And so that's how important, and you have to say, oh, I just said that, cancel what I just said. I didn't mean that, universe. I meant this, 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 and this. So it's a constant monitoring and correcting of the thoughts. And I've constantly gone through that process before I even met Richard, and even more when I wanted to have something to be positive in my life with a mate, to really make sure they're on target for being this, 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 and this.
Linda.
And so, yes.
Real quick, the other one that I was really interested to ask is, let's say you had 10 qualities that you're looking for in a mate, and Richard had 15, let's say. Did Richard have 10 out of 10 that you were looking for, and vice versa? Or, or did, you know, 90% was there and kind of the other 2 or 3 fell by the wayside and kind of just forgot about it?
No, this has got to be a whole deal, you know, or else you're saying, well, I'll settle for this, this, and this.
Okay.
You know? It's
okay.
Not, you know, but it's funny. I could say one thing. No, he is very into, you know, what's good for your health and things like that. But he happens to like, you know, like a soda pop, where I don't like that, you know. And I didn't put that in my manifestation. So that's the kind of, you know, thing that you can be that detailed if you wanted to. But what's more important than those things, because he is into health and understanding, you know, people mold and they change on their own when they need to do certain things. So that's not a policing of a person. You know, that's not what we want. We want an energy that just flows. And besides, you have to take them for the way they are.
Sure.
And the way they are needs to be what's in harmony and sync with what you are. And when that happens, then there's no nothing out of the flow. Everything goes together. So it's got to be truth. It's got to be downright honest. It's got to be like so squeaky clean in there that you really have to face what's not working. And if it's not a big, big, big issue, you know, maybe you don't like politics. Maybe your friend, your mate does. That's not the situation with me and Richard. I'm just giving an example. If he likes politics and you like skiing and he doesn't like skiing and you like politics, those are just the person's individual likes. But if you've got most of the things that you like to do together, that's great. Plus, you're individual people. You have a right to have something a little bit different. But these are like, you know, he's the appropriate age, you know, his qualities that you really care about. I don't want to exactly give everyone that I put there because I want people to decide what's good for them and how they would be, how they would act, how you would know that you're loved, what would you see happen. But this point is crucial. Whatever you want to see happen in your life, the universe is an attracting force. You have to be exactly what it is you want to see happen in your life to attract it. So if you are saying, I want a spiritual mate, then you better show that spirituality out there. If you want a loving, kind, generous person, then you have to be the loving, kind, generous person. Because then a loving, kind, generous person ends up coming into your life because that's a quality that you already are and will attract. So you have to have it within yourself, whatever it is you want the universe to bring to you, because that's like the draw, that's the magnet to bring it to you. So it shouldn't be something that's very different than yourself, but it also should be, if you want to be more prosperous, do prosperous things, which makes you attracting a more of a prosperous person. If you want to be more responsible, be that generous, responsible kind of person to outwardly attract that kind of being. You can't say, oh, I'm not good in this area, so I'll pick a mate that fills in my qualities that I don't have. They may not want to fill in your qualities that you don't have. So, you know, it just may be, if you want to appreciate the same kinds of things or similar things in life, and believe me, it's not boring. It's a very easy flow to go from that to something much more expansive. So we both loved travel. And he's a world traveler. I had not been a world traveler, but I have it in my bones, you know, to be that kind of person. So one thing that amazed Richard is that I did a trek at a dangerous place up 18,600 feet and loved it. And I was, you know, I matched anything. And he's a world traveler. It was so easy. It was just within me, you see, to want to be that and do that, even though I didn't have lots of experiences the way he did. But that didn't matter. So it's like, it's the nurturing within yourself. You want a nurturing mate? Learn how to nurture yourself so that you can learn how to nurture somebody else. See, that's why these things don't work, because you're not being that same thing that you want to attract. So clean up the act of what it is that's not so good, that needs a positive belief and expectation of this good that comes. If you're constantly worried, you're not going to get it. Doubt, no. Blame, no. Discouraged, no. Angry, no. Jealous, no. Fearful, no. Powerless, insecure, feeling unworthy, no. You can't get it. The universe is all for the good. The universe is abundant with power, with love, with appreciation. Love and the universe and joy are synonymous, as well as the word life. Or you could put all those in place of anything, of who you consider your creator to be, and it will be that same thing. And the universe is full of passion and power. And nothing gets done without great creativity and being dynamic. And to me, those things that last the test of time are simple, creative, and dynamic. And they're passionate. there's passion in there. So you know when it's gelling, you know? So whatever it is you want to see happen, but the thoughts are the essence of human creation.
Belinda.
And so, yes.
I too believe that there are no accidents, and the call we're having is not an accident either. And it's so amazing because all the Success Club members on my end that are listening to this, this call took place after I created the February newsletter. And before we got on the phone, we kind of knew generally that we wanted to speak about, you know, relationships and attracting the perfect mate. We didn't have any idea what the other person was going to talk about, but it's so interesting that Linda is talking about much of what I've written about in the newsletter. And I'd like to share a real quick story for those that are listening. And it's essentially the one that I wrote about. And it's a great story, my first love back in college. You know, I had just broken up with another girl and was pretty much frustrated. I was going through our school's newspaper, the BG News, and came across this wonderful image. You know, I've always been intrigued with great imagery, and be it Sports Illustrated or be it any other kind of sports magazine, when I see an athlete caught in action where they are excelling at a high level, it's from an early age intrigued me, and I typically would cut out those photos and hang them on my wall in my bedroom. Well, this time in college, I didn't cut it out and hang it on my wall. I was so intrigued and had so much passion, like Linda was just saying, around this person that I began sketching her. And as I began sketching her, I was supposed to be at like a team function in an hour, so I basically sketched all through lunch. And turned out, I kind of just put that sketch aside. I put it in a folder. And came back, you know, a few weeks later and just going about my day, you know, not really, I never really put much thought back to that image, but I was so involved in bringing that image to life and creating it in my own life on a piece of paper that I don't think I needed to, because there was so much power and enthusiasm when I was creating it that I think I set the wheels in motion at that moment. So 3 weeks, 4 weeks later go by, and I'm sitting in a cafeteria. I just finished up a biology class, and I saw a girl and a guy talking. They were having lunch, and I was very, very much just, I don't want to use the word blown away, but I was just beside myself because this person was very attractive, and I could feel my heart just kind of, you know, pounding. And she happened to be sitting with a walk-on on the team that I played on back in college. And later on that afternoon at practice, I walked up to him and I said, you know, Greg, who was that? And he tells me about her, and I said, oh, okay, were you guys dating? And he was like, no, we're just friends. We're real good friends. So, you know, more time passed, and I never really followed up with him or said, you know, hey, put in a good word for me or anything like that. But time passed, and I kept noticing this person in our weight facility. And basically, all the athletes train in one facility. And, you know, basketball players, volleyball players, football players, all at different times during the day. And you'll go in there when you have a free break or, you know, in between classes, whenever you can get your workout in. So I noticed her a couple more times, and I recognized the girl from lunch, not from something else that I was just talking about. But so eventually later on, I see her again in a bar, and a mutual friend introduces us both, and we start talking and eventually start dating. And, you know, a few weeks go by, a month goes by, I think even a couple months went by, and I went back for some reason into this folder that I that was for a class. And I pull out this image that I illustrated. The image was right in front of the photo. I did cut the photo out and put it behind the image. And I looked at the name of this person in this, the little caption below the photo, and it turned out to be the person I was dating. And talk about, you know, really getting in good with that person in the first few months. You know, I showed it to her, and she was enthralled and intrigued by what had happened and how, you know, that really, in my mind, it's kind of like when you get a new car, and you notice, like, other cars that are similar to yours. I never really, she might have been in the weight room before that photo and before I sketched it, but I never really noticed her until I took time to kind of, in a way, you know, to illustrate the picture of her. So after that, real quick, every relationship, that kind of spurred on just the idea that, wow, okay, I have this, I can do this with you know, future relationships. And but I never really, you know, I couldn't get a photo of people that I've never met, so I began doing exactly what you're describing here, Linda, with each.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently divorced, and the interesting thing is, what just what you were talking about with Richard's soda pop and stuff, at the time, I had broken up from another girl who didn't really want kids. So what was top of mind for me was someone to be a great mom, someone to be awesome with kids and want to be, you know, stay at home and focus on raising kids. So that's kind of what I wrote down. I didn't write down be able to get along fantastically and support each other and have all the other, you know, the qualities that I think two people need in order to survive, in order to have a thriving relationship. So, but I agree 100% with everything that you're talking about, and I've had great experience in bringing to life many of the things that you're discussing, and it's truly, truly a wonderful thing. And this month, for the members of the Success Rocket Ride Club, you have right in front of you the success tool of the month is attracting your perfect partner. It's a visual that shows two people that are basically, they can't get enough of each other. And to the right of that, there is a list of 10 qualities that you can write in just as Linda's describing to you. Get as specific as you can. Try and think of all the different things that you want. Try to think of, you know, the major things, the things, the must-haves that you need to have in a mate. And if you want, write on the back of that thing. Because just like Linda's saying, it's important to have everything written down, as much as you can kind of be conscious of and aware of at the time. And so I think it's just been a real wonderful treat to have Linda on the call this month. And I don't know if you have any other things that you'd like to share or...
Yeah, I do want to mention something because it's really interesting. What seems to be, when creation happens faster and faster, it seems to be just the way you mentioned it, that you take... that you've gotten this picture down of this woman and what you're looking for, and you put it on the side. And the reason that that was potent is because there wasn't any conflict with your thoughts about it. And the universe has a way of making those things happen when we're not saying, well, why didn't it come fast enough? Why isn't it here yet? What's wrong? You know, when we're self-doubting or putting on some of the brakes, so to speak, then we are getting frustrated, and that's not creation. That's miscreation. So it's very important at the in the midst of someone showing you somebody that's not right for you, say somebody knows that you want to get a mate and they have somebody they want you to meet, and it's not like that. It's not for you to get disappointed. It's for you to say, thank you, God, I am noticing exactly those things that I want. Thank you for showing me again exactly what's right for me. And then you let that person go because you know it's not what you're looking for. But you're getting closer. And sure. So you allow and you feel good about it. The whole key is feeling good, feeling joy, because the universe is language. is vibration. It's not talk, and it's not think, and it's not right. Those add to the other things. Those add to them. But the universe is vibration and joy. So when you can be with it for a couple minutes each day or two times a day with what you want to create and go into a place where you feel happy, be in a happy place. If that means take a bath, if it means count money, if it means, you know, have something really wonderful, a wonderful meal, if it means going by water, whatever that means that you makes you laugh, watching a TV program that makes you laugh. So you're in that mode to begin with. And then you go and sit down with the creation that you're looking for and spend some time with it. All you need is a few minutes with it. And then let it go. And don't worry about the time, because your job is to just decide what it is you want and to recognize it and allow it when it shows up. That's a very important point, because all of us say we want X, Y, Z, and then when it shows up, we don't acknowledge it or accept it. So then you're telling the universe, I smack you in the face, and it's not really what I really didn't mean that I wanted this. So you have to be ready to accept it when it does come, when you know it is correct and right. And how do you know that? By the way you feel. How does it make you feel? Not how it makes you think, how it makes you feel. And so then you just let it go and you keep creating until that all the pieces are in order, and you have no business in the middle part. You just decide what you want and you see the end result. And the universe's job is the middle part that you have no say in. And you just have to wait to see when it shows up. And be excited about it and thankful. And don't forget gratitude. Nothing happens without it. It's joyful, real honest to goodness, feeling happy gratitude.
Linda, what would you say to those out there? I mean, they say, 50% of all marriages end in divorce? What would you say to the people that are in a relationship, in a marriage that is very unfulfilling, unsatisfied? I have an answer to this, but I would like to hear your response in order to either attract better qualities with their current mate, or, you know, to maybe, if they've exhausted every option and going and getting counseling and all that kind of stuff, what would you suggest to them that they can use with the information that we presented here?
Well, I would like to address, if you have looked at every option, that's the most important thing, if you really have. And if you can do it out of a feeling of happiness and love for the other person and then let them go on their way, or there may be some things that need to be looked at and not just broken up the relationship. It's how you do relate with someone, and it's not for me to judge who should do that or who shouldn't do that. But if they're in a place where they have decided that it's a no-go, no matter what, and they're going to look forward to another mate, I would ask them to get in touch with themselves before running into something new. They need to look at what it is their part in the play was and how they can make their life more fulfilling and better. And then from there, go with the attracting of the new mate, if that's what they're looking for. Because when we don't watch what we've just done and we jump from one thing to another, you pretty much may get the same thing just in another package. So it's really important to be clear about what it is you're looking for and doing, to be honest with yourself, to love yourself, to nurture yourself. If you cannot do that, you're not ready for another mate.
Right.
You're really not ready for another person. And I mean being good to yourself and seeing your all parts of you, not just giving yourself compliments, I look great, I do this, but real stuff, you know, and having good heart-to-heart talks with yourself. And because, you know, time is important to use properly, and there are no guarantees, though. Even though I'm in a great, loving relationship, and all. It is something that you nurture all the time. I don't use the word work. It's nurturing. It's about fulfilling and really talking. Having great communication was a very important thing. And communication on each other's wavelength, too. And so it has to start from a basis that you have something to work from. And then you see the qualities of the other person, talk it out with them, see where you're both at. And I think anything can be worked out if two people are willing to do that, not sacrificing themselves, but they're two individuals coming together because they want to be together, not because of need, but because they want to be together. The need doesn't work, you know. Then it's just a trade. Otherwise, you know, instead of saying I love you very much, you might as well say I trade you very much. Because if you have something wonderful that you, this is the quality of you and this is the quality of me, and we together want to come together as two individuals who are always going to be individuals, but yet we have this wonderful part that we want to share, that's fine. We can never control anyone else. So we must need to be whole and two separate people who want to come together and grow together and learn together and nurture together. But there are no guarantees in that, and that you will better each other and better your life, and that's what it's all about, the quality of life and continuing and wanting to keep each other together for the rest of your life. That was what my intention is and always will be. So you got to just go with the flow on things sometimes. And there are always, that doesn't mean there won't be situations in the marriage that aren't to learn from and grow from, but that's what they are. They're lessons of learning and growing. They're not necessarily, you know, like roadblocks to an end. They're about, okay, we've both come this far. Now we're asked to go to a higher level of understanding in ourselves and in our relationship. And that's why, for me, I think communication is so vital in all ways. Can I talk on the phone with them? Then when I see them in person, and then when I travel from hotels that are 5-star plus hotels to no star hotels to tents, you know, to be able to be everywhere and, you know, deal with those things. And one of the things Richard always says to me is that I feel like I know you I've been married to you for like 25 years already. You know, it's like from the beginning.
Right.
So it's that kind of an idea. So it's what he's saying is there's a comfortability in that.
True.
Comfortability. And it's not like it's old hat already. It's more like there's such a flow that I'm more to be myself with you, you know, because you're accepting of me as I am and I'm accepting you for what you are. And we could talk about anything and act accordingly. So,
that's great.
Happiness is the key. You know, that we've come here to be happy. We've come here to have fun. That's what I learned about the universe.
Yeah, and so much, you know, in society, there's this stigma that, you know, you need to be married, and even if you're unhappy. And I don't agree with that. It's not always, you know, then you go through life and you know, you're just miserable, and eventually you go on and pass into the other world, and, you know, you've led a, you know, pretty unhappy life. So,
well, can I just say, I address that, because that happened to me, because I was a very devout person in my religion, and I felt you got married, you stayed married no matter what, and you did that. And I was married for 18 years with a person, and that was, you know, a good person, but it wasn't, we started off it differently in that relationship, being younger, and you wouldn't do the same things if you knew more, you know, than that. So people sometimes grow in different directions. And the understanding that I have metaphysically, spiritually, what I've learned about Jesus and the different things and the hidden books and the hidden understandings of things, is he said this one thing, marriage is of the heart. And what when the people have the heart together, then he says, let no man put asunder. We don't get all the words correctly. And I've been a researcher of all these truths in the Bible and things like that, because my whole goal at the very start of my life was always about, what's the underlying cause? Where did this come before this? What was the first cause of this? I always looked into those things. And that's what I saw. That's what I learned. It wasn't that I made it to that, but I stayed in a relationship for a very, very long time that wasn't quite right for me. And it kept showing itself up that way until, you know, it was at a point that it was critical for my life well-being, for my self-assuredness, my self-security, for myself to leave that type of thing. And I had to be the one to do it. Or else I would have never done it. And God always kept showing me, no, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to. And I would ask and I would see. And I really don't believe I made that up. I know that that's true. And it took me a long time, a lot of years before I married again. But I just know that I kept getting the answer, no, you're not supposed to be here. It's for a learning, growth experience along the way. And, you know, there's still love there, but we are two different people who can't go in the same direction in that way. So we need to understand that sometimes we get in these situations that if we knew better, we wouldn't do that, you know? And so we grow. That's what life is about, a complete growing experience. No matter how much I learn or how much knowledge I have in any of the fields, I am always learning more. And just like with money, we always want more, right? We want the best and the betterment that we can give ourselves. There's always more to have. And the universe is about abundance, doing it with integrity, doing it with love, with knowing. You'll know you're finished with a mate who has left your life. Is that when you hear good things happening to that past mate, that you can say, I'm glad for them. I'm happy that they're doing well. And you can really sincerely mean that. There's no glitch. There's no uncomfortable feeling. There's no jealousy, hatred, or animosity in any way. When you can really openly wish that grace and betterment to them, then there's a real good healing within you that's happened to move forward for both people.
I'd like to add to one of the things that I was asking you about, you know, what I did in my own situation, you know, several months before we actually separated, I sat down and got quiet and figured out what I want. Because similar to what you say, I believe that what you think about, you become, and what thoughts you hold in you, you attract. So I went down to my basement and just started writing things that I was looking for in a mate. I was not at that point giving up. I was not at that point saying we're through. I thought maybe that, hey, if we can find these qualities together and have them in a relationship moving forward, that would be great. And if not, then so be it. Then it's time to move on. So I kind of took some time to get quiet, get still, and focus on, okay, here I am at this point in my life. It's not working. Here's what I want. I don't want what I don't want. Well, I know what I don't want, and here's what I want. So I focused on those qualities that I was looking for. And I said to myself, if my mate has these qualities, you know, mysteriously come to her in some way, then great. But, you know, and it was just kind of experimenting with different things. I didn't have the answers, and I was in a place where I had never been before. So I was just kind of experimenting with this stuff. And as it turned out, the energies just didn't align between us. So that's kind of my take on it. But
yes.
I want to wrap this up and just say, you know, we've covered off a lot of different things. And do you have an email address for people if they want to get in touch with you to either check? Because you talked about how you checked to see if your mate was perfect for you way back when. you know, do you offer that service to people? And if so, do you have an email address where they can reach you?
Sure. They can reach me at Linda, with an I, L-I-N-D-A, at Holistic, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, Dynamics, D-Y-N-A-M-I-C-S, .com. And I will be glad to help them any way I can.
Super. Okay, so it's Linda at HolisticDynamics.com. Great. Okay, this has been fascinating, but I have one last question for you, Linda, and that is, how did it all turn out with you and Richard?
Well, you saved the best for last question for me. Well, after we went on our trip for 3 months and we came back, I came back in August, and Richard and I went to Chicago first, met some family of his there. There were some parties for people, and I came back here because my daughter, Alexis, was having my first grandchild. And so, and I was one of the birth coaches for this, so I knew I had to be there and wanted to. And then Richard came back to stay with me a week later. And then actually he asked me to marry him shortly after he came back to Williamsville, New York. And he asked me at my favorite place, on my favorite bench, at this beautiful Glen Park Falls that I have like around the corner from me, literally just yards away. And this is my favorite place next door to me. So at this place I used to go to, Vince, to actually work on my manifesting.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. It's a lovely park, and it has a beautiful, great waterfall on it. And the ions in the air over there are just sparkling clear and with a lot of clarity, and I should go there daytime, nighttime. And I just love talking to the universe in this place very often. And I always wanted, you know, certain things to occur, and I was so interested that he had asked me at this one beautiful place, and I always wanted a ruby. I didn't want a diamond. I had those before, but I wanted a ruby. So, ruby ring. So, I received a ruby, a beautiful big ruby ring, and I then started designing with my art. I designed our wedding band, which had all the symbols on it that were important to me and Richard. Absolutely loved it. It was just like a no-brainer. It just like in one take. It was just done. It was just so great.
Wow.
And I had known some jewelers, and they really did some good searching. And so it was really wonderful because I know about jewelry and gemstones and astrology and how that works together quite a bit. So that was really just really easy. You know, just ask for it. It was there. And then when the rings were finished, we had called our wedding planner that was recommended by our friends that first introduced us in Kauai. And then we had our intentions were to get married a week back in Kauai on a private beach. And so we flew to Kauai and talked to our planner and our florist. And we had always wanted a sacred Hawaiian ceremony to be done. And we had found this beautiful woman who was a Hawaiian kapuna who married us on this awesome place that Richard had found, because we had to go there, and our wedding planner says, see what beach would be really personal to you. You got to go find the place that calls to you, that's right for you. So we had been there a week, and we were looking at all kinds of places, and Richard found this beautiful place, this Naina Kai Botanical Gardens, which were on Kauai, and I had mentioned I'm a crazy flower person. I just love orchids especially and exotic flowers. So here's a place that is on 240 acres of garden and has on it the most beautiful private beach imaginable. So what a find, you know, and the florist recommended to us was just fantastic because I wanted the special flower lays and flowers for the wedding. It was just unbelievable. And what was also amazing is that I always said to the universe that if I get married again, I would love to get married around Thanksgiving, which was always my favorite time of year, my favorite holiday for many, many years. So after doing all of this, you know, manifesting and working on things, it just happened in the flow. So I do astrology and some numerology. And, you know, because I was so personally close to this thing, I had a good numerologist, Tanya Gabrielle, look up some dates for us. And she, without knowing any of my desires or interests or anything, comes up with a date that was in harmony with what I had been looking at in my own astrology thing. That came up to be November 24th. That would be a great date for us. And it just happened to be Thanksgiving weekend. So, I mean, that was just amazing. And this wasn't done on purpose, but it was the universe, God, which planned it really perfectly.
Wow.
So one of the other things I always wanted was a hokulani. And in Hawaiian, that means dinner under the stars. So there was this beautiful other thing that I wanted, which was like two Hawaiian leis that were intertwined together that we would throw into the ocean. And we had that happen, and we went to the Pokulani, a beautiful place for dinner, the principal hotel on Kauai, dinner under the stars, had a private waiter, and on the beach, we just cast these beautiful leis in the water, and they didn't come back. They just kept going out to sea. And the waiter had said, you know, that just doesn't happen. Usually they come back. But one of the things we had wanted to make sure is just went out, so it just kept going out to sea as a thankfulness to the universe for what had happened. We always wanted that. So that was really unusual also that they had mentioned that. So everything was picture perfect in every way. And it was just a beautiful beginning.
I was going to say, it sounds like a wonderful way to start things off, you know?
It was just marvelous. It's just, but it's in the flow. It's just so easy. And it's, you know, the universe planned it. And I couldn't have done a better job. You know, it's just the way all of it intertwined. But it all was about it feeling so right in every piece of it. Because when you get what your heart really wants, there's no disharmony with that.
Sure.
And the universe just kind of put it all together in the right timing, the right place, in the right way. And it's just a joy to kind of see it unfold before you. So,
you know, speaking of the universe, Linda, and kind of becoming one with that, with the universe, and tuning into that and getting quiet and still, you have some other products that listeners can take advantage of to help them in that arena, correct?
Yes, I do. I have some different CDs that talk about the power to create through visualization your dreams and how to get quiet, and that's also available to anyone, and it's specific for them. And every time you would do it, you would get something different that comes out of this meditation. That just is a guide. And also a relaxation process is on there, too, that can be used for anything, any purpose.
Okay. And they can get all that at holisticdynamics.com?
They can.
Okay.
Yes.
Super. Well, great. That really caps off a wonderful conversation that we've had the last 40 minutes to an hour. I think we're up close to an hour here, which has just been filled with so much valuable information for people to take and learn from and apply in their own lives. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And just to kind of talk about, recap some of the items that I think apply really well to the members of this club, is that, just like Linda said, take time to figure out what you want. Write it down on your success rocket tool, the second one you've received so far, and put it back in the binder that you have. You know, just tuck it away. If you want to have it in front of you to, you know, look at the image that's there of the couple that's pretty much magnetized to each other, they can't seem to get enough, do that. But I agree with her. There's power in tucking away and separating yourself from your intention. You have to spend time there, though. You have to spend time and energy figuring out what you want. So get out of the rat race. Take 5, 10, 20 minutes to go through that tool and make it important to yourself. Make it, give it some priority. And sit back and see what happens.
There's also maybe one other thing. If people don't know what they want, you touched on it already, Vince, they would write what or know what they don't want. That's a very big tool in helping to first understand what it is you really don't want. It really doesn't gel. It really doesn't work. It's be honest. Be so brutally honest. And then the next thing is, if they want to do some going to be still, to do some meditation or relaxation or something learning so that they can get into that quiet space, which makes a great amount of difference for your life.
Sure. Sure. And I just like to, first of all, thank you ever so much for taking time out to be on this call with me and everyone else that is listening to this. And secondly, you had a point earlier, I think at the beginning of this talk, and you said that everything is relationships. Your relationship to your health, your wealth, your partner, your career, to everything. So I think everything you've talked about, that we've talked about tonight, will show people that this information applies to everything, not just relationships or your relationship, singular. So thank you very, very much, Linda, for being here. And do you have any last-minute power phrases or words of wisdom to share with the audience?
Well, I remember one always. It says, you are what you think, having become what you thought. So yesterday will be today's tomorrow until you change your thoughts.
Wow. I think that's a great place to end. Thank you so
much.
Well,
I want to just say thank you very much also. It was a pleasure and a joy for me. And I'm just very happy to have talked with you today.
Well, great. The pleasure's been mine. So if anyone is interested in getting a hold of Linda, they can either send an email to the email she gave you previously in this talk, or you can just send it to me at vince@vincepalko.com and put in the subject line a question for Linda, and then I can forward that on to her. So either way, you can send one to her or send one to me. So thank you, everyone, for listening and participating in tonight's call, because it is participation. You're not just listening. There is an activity that, you know, we want you to do that can enhance your life. So make sure you take time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to do that. Okay? Vince Palko signing off. All the best of success to you and your life and to everyone around you. Thank you very much.